Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to find your true self. Today I welcome David Bennett, author of his new book, A Voice as Old as Time, which follows David's first book, Voyage of Purpose, and tells the story of his life-changing near-death experience. David has been a guest on Dr. Oz, Angels Among Us, NBC National News, and PBS. Hello, David, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Thanks, Cheryl. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you.
David, as listeners of this show are well aware and they have come to expect, my guests and I seek to understand the laws of universal energy, life and death, the world and universe, as a continuous force for creation, evolution, and learning more about ourselves, and allow always sharing methods for greater self-investigation, mastering our emotional, physical, and spiritual worlds, so we can move forward towards self-actualization and our full human potential, to thrive and be well in our life journey. In today's episode of Healing From Within, David Bennett, who is an energy healer and transformational coach, uses contemplations to develop a center of focus in meditation and during daily life. The contemplations we will discuss provide subject matter for serious thought or consideration into the reader's divine nature. We will find out how, unlike normal meditation techniques, contemplations focus on an idea while in a state of stillness or while being mindful. David, I always like to ask my guests to think back to their childhood, to tap. Yeah, it's fun. It's kind of fun for a minute to get out of this moment and go back to another moment. To tap into a memory, person, or event that might have shown them or others at the time the values, goals, and interests which were important to them then and now. Was there something or someone that guided you to do the work and become the empowered person you are today?
Yeah, I'd have to say that as a child, the person who influenced me probably the most would have been a guardian. I was thrown around from family to family to family, and I fell in with this one family who became my guardians. They officially became my guardians, and Gleason was his name. And I'd have to say that he influenced my life the most. He he's since passed, but he still continues to influence me to this day. So it's very easy for me to go back to thinking of my childhood and you know, those early influences, because, you know, I had a very dysfunctional kind of bringing up, being thrown from one family to the next and kind of always being a second citizen in these homes, you know.
Do you think, David, that was random, or was it perhaps part of a plan for you to develop an awareness, a greater awareness of yourself, and become so thoughtful going within and observing life on a different level because of what was happening to you as a child? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that, the universe, when we come into this life, does set up, you know, a series of situations and opportunities for us to turn one way or the other. And so I really do believe that I was very harsh as a child, but it really took my near-death experience to turn me around and to really begin to connect to my divine essence, and because I was able to then communicate with my soul family. I met them in my near-death experience, and it created a new lifelong relationship. The more I worked with my soul family, the more I realized the importance of daily spiritual practice, which provides me with a path toward, you know, spiritual awakening. I started sharing my reflections and those sort of things online, and that's what brought me to write the book.
Let's bring our listeners to your first near-death experience on the ocean research vessel Aloha. And then you had a second transformative experience in 1994 when you were in meditation in Sedona, and the third one in November 2000. So let's give our listeners a step-by-step little approach to what happened and how you changed after each event.
Sure. In 1983, I was the chief engineer of the research vessel Aloha. And there was an accident, and it was a couple miles off the California coast. And I drowned, and I found myself in this absolute darkness. But it was not a scary situation because I kind of died a very violent drowning death. So to find myself in this calm, still blackness was very curious for me because I was also trained as a commercial diver. So I knew about oxygen deprivation. I knew about a lot of those things, and because you're trained in it. But I was in this darkness. I was very curious, and then I saw this light. And as I moved toward the light, I started feeling like I was being enveloped in this love. And I met my soul family. They came and approached me and welcomed me home, which was incredibly emotional for me. And I recognized them as my family. They weren't really anyone I'd lived this life with, but I knew them. I recognized them in death. And so
when you say, David, when you say they welcomed you home, did you see any place or did you just feel comfortable in their energy being with them, still in perhaps that darkness or maybe approaching light?
Well, it was that transition of leaving darkness and entering the light. Well, it was the light itself that was home, because the light appeared to me like millions upon millions of fragments of light, you know, and they all interacted together. And so when my soul family came out and greeted me and brought me into the light, that was that feeling of being at home.
And I'm sure it was very valuable to you because, as you say, in your childhood, you had many different experiences in homes, and you were always searching for your real place and a real knowingness about yourself, and you had it in this moment, in this near death. Well, what happened next when you got to that transformative experience in 1994?
Well, in 1994, I had kind of shifted my whole life. The first experience had caused me to shift my whole life a little bit, to be a little more tolerant, accepting of myself, and I was learning about my truth, you know, my core being and the truth that resides within that. And so when I had this second experience, I actually... I was with a spiritual group, and I was in Sedona. And part of my childhood, I grew up in Sedona, so it was a very familiar area for me. And I think being in that familiar area, I kind of let, you know, a lot of those guards that we always have up as adults and living life, you know, and went into a meditation, and I started to relive the original near-death experience. And only in this second experience, in the life review, I had lived 11 years since the first near-death experience. And so I got to see the difference that living a more centered life had caused in my life and in the interactions with other people. So that really was a huge lesson for me. That I didn't feel like I had changed that much, but in that life review, I could see how my interactions with people, because I started working from a more loving intention and more heart-centered way of living.
That was a beautiful gift from Spirit to show you your progress. I do readings for people as a Reiki energy practitioner and medium, and I always say to them, it's like a report card from upstairs validating, you know, what you're learning and what your main goals are and if you're achieving them. And so something like this seems to me to be a validation for the progress you were making and the happiness you were creating. So
Oh, certainly.
I think that's
Yeah.
beautiful. And then you had something happen in November 2000, which was a third metamorphosis or way for you to learn more about yourself and the world of spirit. What happened then?
Well, in 2000, I was sitting in my office. I became the manager of dialysis programs at St. Joseph's Hospital in Syracuse, New York. And I was sitting in my office, and it felt like my back had exploded. And I presented myself to the hospital in the emergency room. And after a lot of tests, they found that my spine had actually collapsed because I had lung cancer that metastasized into my spine, and it ate away 2.5 bones of my thoracic part of my spine, and the tumor could no longer support the weight of my spine, so it collapsed. And that's what caused this intense pain. But then they did more tests, and they found I had lesions in my hip, my brain, my kidneys. The cancer was moving through my bones. It was very rapid, very aggressive, and they were only giving me a few weeks to live. And they were going to make me very comfortable and just let me pass, as comfortably as possible. But because of what I had seen in those prior two near-death experiences, I knew that I was going to have cancer at some point. I didn't think it was going to happen that soon, but I also saw I was going to live beyond the cancer. So I knew without a doubt, without any doubt whatsoever, that I was going to treat this, and I used guidance from spirit, to pick a path, to pick my modality. So spirit felt it was important that I experience the traditional medicine and holistic approaches. And so I kind of balanced it out between holistic and traditional medicine.
Excellent. That's the way to go. Most of my shows encourage that, to merge the ancient alternative philosophies and treatments modalities with what they call allopathic medicine, because
Yep.
by themselves, neither of them is fully complete. It's like a puzzle putting it all together. And what's right for one person may not be right for another soul. So we want to use that. Thank you for saying that. Now, David, I know you work as an energetic healer using a white light healing technique that was given to you from spirit. Can you tell us about that healing modality?
Yeah, it's actually what I learned. One of the ways that spirit helped me, because it's so true. Spirit told me that we needed to balance out these different treatment options, because that one, there was purpose, but also we co-created the healthcare systems that we have today. So it's a part of our own creation. So that spirit really made that important note to me. But Spirit showed me how to go, return into the light. I already been in the light twice in these near-death experiences, but for my cancer, Spirit taught me to go into the light and connect to that part of myself that is connected to the light. In other words, when I was in the light, I saw myself as a being of light. And when I came back into this body, a portion of that light came with me. And that's my connection to my greater light, my greater totality, is because I have a fragment of my light with me. And so spirit taught me to go into the light and connect to my essence and use that, bring that down as a healing force. So it use that my own energy. My body recognizes that energy immediately. And through that connection, you have a greater guidance as to how to apply the energy to the body. So in my healing practice, what I do is I go into the light and I connect with my client's essence, my client's light, and I bring their essence back into their body so that their body can recognize it. And usually I'm given quite a bit of guidance,
Absolutely.
from,
Yeah,
you know,
I was taught the Reiki Japanese technique, but it's exactly the same. It's connecting to this universal energy that's all around us and within us. Within us, our universal soul force, and by connecting to it, we can feel the pureness and calm and peace of the being that we really are, that spiritual being, you said. And once long ago, I was working on someone, and I had felt at his core, I saw a tall, thin, white light being, and I said to him, "You are a very spiritual man." And he said, "Well, I used to devote a lot of time, but in these years I haven't really been able to." And he wasn't feeling well, and I told him to follow the treatment plan that he was going to be offered by his doctors, and it turned out that he did have cancer. But I saw him as the force and being that you described yourself, and I didn't
That's
know.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't know at that time. I was too new in the work to really know that it meant that he would be leaving, and he would be going up to be his eternal, free, you know, connected
yeah.
self to all of the universe. But at any rate, he seemed to know, because when he looked at me, he thanked me when he left, and he seemed to be comfortable with what I had described to him. So
right.
It's the first time I've been able to mention that in all these years because of the description that you just gave. And I think our listeners can understand that that is the source of our essence, that energy,
yeah.
that soul part of us that's eternal, that has been in many times and places and has great wisdom. And I think that's what we're talking about here. So go on to tell us what the contemplations are or ideas that one should or can focus on to begin to receive awareness of an opening of their intuitive selves, because we all are connected to spirit and have intuition, and intuition is an awareness of this more, being more than our physical life. So how do your contemplations work with that?
Yeah, well, when you think about it, we all feel like we're living this separate life because each of us contains a being that lives forever, that connection to the light we were just talking about, and also a being that is going to die. Everything must change and accept the essence of who we are. In fact, it would be kind of unfortunate to spend an entire life without touching our own essence. And that's what a contemplative type of practice allows us to do. It allows us to connect to our higher being. I really do believe it's of the utmost importance that we do not become overwhelmed with living in this physical world and that we forget to spend time in stillness. Contemplation is still... I still use stillness to start the contemplation process. And by going there and by contemplating on different aspects, and I kind of broke the book up and gave a bunch of different examples. I broke it up into 44 different chapters to kind of give you some guidelines on what is it that you need to work on right now. Are you interested in becoming more at peace with yourself? Or are you trying to define your truth and acceptance of who you are? Things like that. And so as you start to work with these concepts, these spiritual concepts, you start to connect with that intrinsic wisdom that's linked to our ultimate reality. And it tells us that everything is interconnected, like we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And reflective work teaches this form in hints and suggestions. So it stimulates our connection to that, you know, intrinsic wisdom. It's kind of interesting because a lot of times in meditation, what we're trying to do is we're trying to quiet the mind. Well, in reflection, what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a coherence between our mind and our heart. We're trying to listen to our heart, but we're utilizing that intellect as well at the same time. So it helps us to proceed along our spiritual path and work towards spiritual maturity by creating that connection between heart and mind.
Yes, absolutely. And you say the many places you and your wife traveled to over the past years led to many inspirational and insightful additions to the book. Is there a place, one special place, or maybe more than one special place, that was most inspiring for you?
Well, yeah, there are a number. Wow, that's a good question, because everywhere you travel, if you start to live from the center of your being, you pay attention to all the interactions that you have in life, right? And so then when you come across someone and you treat them with loving intention and heart-centered actions, you have a clear vision as to what this interaction is like. I have to say, though, some of the most inspiring times that we've had most recently would be down in the Dominican Republic. The people down there are so loving, and it's not it's 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 just a part of their culture. And it's kind of funny because we meet a lot of people that are down there at these all-inclusive types of resorts. When my wife and I go down, we just rent a condo, and we just live in the local community. But a lot of these people that go on these inclusive resorts, sometimes they'll maybe sneak out to go somewhere and they may cross our path. And they're taught in these communities to be fearful to go out into the country because, it's dangerous out there. And here, my wife and I, we just rent a condo out in the community, and we live there, with the local people, and they are so loving and so understanding. And for all these people to have this fear to be
Well,
in, is just astounding sometimes, but.
it's really funny. I went to the Dominican Republic many years ago, and like you, I was told to stay pretty much close to my complex. But I did go out shopping on a bus tour, and what I saw then, now this is many years ago, I saw great poverty, and I saw people walking around with many handicaps and disfiguring elements and to their face, and it frightened me a little bit, because here in this country they would have been attended to. There was such poverty, and I
There
remember
is.
being like a third world country, and when I came into the airport it said, oh, if you get these symptoms, go immediately for medical help. You might have typhoid or diphtheria or this. So it made me very
It's
sad.
evolved a little bit
I'm
since then.
sure,
It's
I'm
evolved,
sure. It
yeah.
made me a
But
little sad.
there is a lot of poverty, but you know what? Those people have the hearts like you wouldn't believe, and they share from their heart. Even though, you and I have so much more here in the States. But when we go there, we go very simply, and we just because we're not into taking all the trips and all the tourist type stuff. We just want to just be there and go to the beach and
You
swim in the ocean, and
want to just be free and observe and be
yeah,
open
and
to
by
all the
that way, I'm able
possibilities.
to interact with the local people, and we would have kids that would come up by us, and they would have caught some fresh fish and some lobsters and things. You'd be able to buy them right from locally, things like that. But the interaction with the people is what I really cherished down there.
And that's really what life is all about, our experiences and our interactions with others, and our growing awareness or intuition that nothing is really random. We are being guided. And I wrote something in my book in reference to what we're talking about right here. In my book, The Living Spirit, I suggest that nothing is random, and that our guides or loved ones in spirit are helping us to fulfill our life plan and direct us to places and people that might be beneficial to our awakening and the remembrance of our soul essence. And I wrote, everyone can recall having at least one flash of intuition. It may have been a strong feeling or as subtle as a breeze on a hot summer day, but it was there. It may have assisted you in making a good decision or prevented you from making a poor one. Perhaps you knew, just knew that something was going to happen, only to get confirmation an hour, a day, or a week later that it had indeed occurred. Most people write it off as a coincidence or perhaps good luck, But that could not be further from the truth. These feelings are whispers from spirit, the support of our family and friends on the other side. Just like you were talking about before, your soul family that you met and the place, how you felt about the Dominican Republic. I think it's beautiful that we are aware of this and sharing this with so many other people so they can awaken, really wake up and walk in their own truth and the vibration of their own love and developing compassion. Now, I know what peace means to you. And I think you would like readers of A Voice as Old as Time to take this away with them. And you wrote, David, are you worried about the world? If so, then visualize a world at peace with all its people, experiencing a conscious awakening. Peace begins within. So cultivate a loving heart so that you walk a path of peace and love. With each step, we are one step closer to world peace. We need a totally different world where hate is not taught. We talk about peace and prepare for war. We talk about brotherhood as we disrespect others. Are we listening to our truth? Live in the world with a connection to a greater oneness. Live with your truth. Commit to helping our world become a more peaceful and compassionate place. Become a flower of hope unfolding with beauty and grace. Find the calm peace within your stillness. Bring it into your day where it can grow. And David, that is so wonderfully and beautifully said. And at this moment when there are so many events going on in the world, so many frightening and challenging events across the whole face of our planet, I think I would like people to think about what you just wrote there. I want to thank you, David, for... as author of A Voice as Old as Time, for your poetic, graceful contemplations on subjects such as acceptance, truth, separation, awareness, awakening, conscious presence, peace, love, and compassion. Also, spirit communication, spiritual maturity, and universal energy. Each of your topics offer tools of focused meditations and mindfulness to be used in living life more purposely and joyfully every day. For more information and to purchase this book, go to dharmatalks.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have looked at the nature of our inner being, reflecting on ways to expand consciousness, free our mind of past restrictions, and find the peace, beauty, and goodness within, which, when allowed to thrive, offer us universal guidance and joy that expands beyond the confines of our physical lives, reminding us once again of our eternal nature. In David's contemplation on spirit communication, he writes, and I highly concur with this statement, we are all citizens of this world with the ability to speak directly with our higher self. Once we comprehend our being human and connection with our light, we begin to see the kinship with all things that are born and grow on earth. Spirit speaks to us in so many ways, from nature, an unknown person, or from a son or daughter. A message or knowing appears to us at just the right time and place. Our interconnectedness allows the communication to come from all sources. Allow yourself to be connected. David and I would have you remember to find the time to allow your mind to be quiet, and in the stillness of that moment, listen, connect to spirit and your own inner essence, and through self-discovery, find inner balance, harmony, peace, and the glorious being that is spirit, and the oneness of life within each of us. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to find out more about our spiritual beginnings and the road and the messages that help us discover the gift of life and ways to find peace, happiness, success, and most definitely love. Listen to leaders and authors share their experiences and journey here and beyond to find truth and awareness. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.